This is Connor Lennon from UN News. New York-based Lobonga Muendanababo's life has been very different from his work colleagues and friends. Today, Lobonga is a US citizen, a recent graduate of Georgia State University, and now manager of a furniture store in New York. But as a small child, he and his family were forced to flee a bloody conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo and spent 14 years in a refugee camp in neighbouring Tanzania, along with over 140,000 others forced from their homes. In this episode of our UN News podcast, UN in Africa, he talks to me about his extraordinary journey and how the UN helped him along the way.
I was born in Congo. I was born in a village called Uvira. And in 1995, we had a, you know, to they had a war in the Congo. So my family was like, hey, we got to go. And we had to cross the ocean and we went to Tanzania.
How old were you?
I was, I think, 5 and a half, you know.
Do you remember anything from Congo?
Not really. You know, if you take me to Congo right now, I would be lost. Yeah.
How dangerous was it? Did your parents tell you?
I know that one thing I can remember was, you know, I heard the gunshots, you know, gunshots, and people were dying as we were running, you know, blood. So it was, and I, you know, they, you know, when you're young, they don't want you to see that. So I had to put a, like a rag on my face. So I'm not going to see all this stuff.
It was that bad?
It was bad, yeah.
And what did they tell you about it afterwards, about the situation that you were escaping from?
So they didn't tell me anything right away. All they say was, let's just go to Tanzania, it's going to be safe. And Tanzania is really close to us, and we have a relationship with Tanzania, so we're just going to go there. So when we got to Tanzania, then they, you know, they took time and explained to everybody in the family, because we were all young, because they thought that if they tell us what's going on, we might go, you know, crazy, as, you know, when you're young, you don't know, yeah.
And what did they tell you?
When we got to Tanzania, they said there is a civil war right now. There is a guy whose name is Laurent Desire Kabila, who's trying to take over the government, and he was fighting against the current president. So that's why he had to run away.
And did they explain why that affected you? Why you weren't soldiers, your family weren't soldiers, why they were being affected by this civil war?
They were affected because we didn't have peace. People couldn't go to school, people couldn't go to work, there was nothing going on. Just people killing people. It's like, we don't want to stay here and be loyal to the country and just die. You don't want to do that. And we didn't want to be part of the, they had a group called Kadogo. Like when you're young, they give you a gun trying to, you know, yeah, they were like, we're not
going to be a child soldier.
Yeah, so we're not going to do that. So it, we might as well go ahead and go to Tanzania.
So then go to Tanzania. What was that like? Describe where you were living.
So we were living in the bush, man. So what happened is we got in and we had to make a home for ourselves. Like if I take you here in a bush place and tell you this is going to be your house, you're like, there's no house. How am I going to live here? So we had to cut the grass, cut the trees, and, you know, just trying to make a home.
So you had nothing. There was nothing. No settlements were there at that point.
No, nothing. Like we just throw you right there, just, you know, trying to figure it out on your own. So after a little while, then the UN came and they gave us things that we can use, and, you know, we had a little home and we had food and clothes and shoes and all this good stuff.
What was the relationship like between the Congolese refugees and the Tanzanians? Was it generally friendly? Were there any tensions?
I think it was friendly. Tanzanian people are really good people. Yeah. I know that, you know, you have a certain limit, but at the end of the day, they're good people.
And because they'd been accepting a huge number of people in their country.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, out of nowhere, we just were there and they were really happy, so yeah. Congo and Tanzania, we speak the same language, so we speak Swahili. Their Swahili is better than our Swahili. So yeah, even if we were talking, we couldn't understand each other sometime, but we know we can speak. So that was one of the things, the relationship was there before. Because, you know, people would leave Congo to go to Tanzania to do business. And then, you know, in Africa, they have these things, I think maybe 5 or 7 countries that speak a commercial language, and Swahili was one of them. So we had a relationship before the war.
And for you now, U.S. citizen, how long were you there?
I was there from 1996 to 2010, about 14 years.
And in that time, were you hoping that you'd be able to go back home to Congo, or what were your expectations?
The expectation was, it's not going to take too long. That's what my daddy said. My daddy was telling everybody in the family, it's going to be fine. We're not going to be that long. We might be a 6 month or, you know, whatever. But it was really complicated, and we just, you know, the UN brought the UNICEF, and we started going back to school, and we just were just there.
So 14 years, and then what happened?
After 14 years, they had this program called Refugee Resettlement that you can go to a third country, and we had to apply for the program. We had to go through the whole process, do an interview. And then we got lucky enough to come to the United States. So that's when we came, and we were based in Atlanta.
You are now a U.S. citizen?
I'm a U.S. citizen now,
yes. And your family?
Me and my brother. My mom is not, my dad is not, my two sisters are not citizens yet.
What are your long-term plans? Are you planning to stay here? And are you planning to continue to have links to Congo?
At the end of the day, you know, I'm a Congolese by heart. Yeah, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity that this country has given to me. I'm grateful about that. But I think, you know, I have to do something to support my country. You know, as of right now, I have to have the right people around me who can work with me and see what we can do about Congo.
Well, I wish you all the best, and of course, wish Congo all the best. Thank you very much for speaking to UNNews.
Thank you so much.